We're going to read the Bible together, and our first set of readings come from 2 Kings, starting at chapter 22, which is on page 335. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Coming to chapter 23. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley, outside Jerusalem, and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, the quarters where women did weaving for Asherah.
The second reading for tonight is in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3:10 to 17. That's page 1028 in your church Bibles. And this is a letter from Paul. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and in Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and who from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, will be able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Hello, everybody. Great to be together again tonight, and we're doing this together. Yeah. And Rowena put pressure on us to say, what did you think of the sermon tonight? Well, no, we really trust God that this is going to be a word for you and for me, for us tonight. Did you see the link between the two scripture readings tonight? One, a narrative from the Old Testament, and sometimes when we read the long story, we say, well, why are they there? Well, the second reading reminded us, didn't it, that this is the word of the Lord, and so it's going to speak into your life and to mine tonight. So we're doing it together. We've been together for quite a long time, and we often stand close together to prove that. a bit of encouragement, 2 weeks' time, 43rd anniversary. Yeah. Love you guys, you know. I just love the encouragement. There's one thing that we have in common, that we love the Bible. We love God's word. We get into it every day. We love the way that God has chosen to reveal himself through his attributes, his plans, his purposes, his assurances. I just love the way that God has selected people and inspired them to write down and pass it on to us. And isn't it great that this isn't just a cold list of things to do and not to do, rules and regulations, that it's a record of real people, because we are real people living in a real world. The Bible is about ordinary people in relationship with an extraordinary God. And that's why I love what the Apostle Paul declares in Romans 15, verse 4. This is a great launch for us. It's a great encouragement for us as we dig into this Old Testament passage tonight. Because he says this, Romans 15, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we may have hope. And yes, we've been taking a look at some of the great characters that we find in our Bibles during our Christmas series. We looked at Mary and Zechariah after Christmas into the life of Simeon. Last week, we looked at Elijah, and today is Josiah. Josiah, a person who sought to live a holy life of love and obedience. So always good to ask a question and be honest with ourselves. Why have we come to church tonight? Why will it be helpful to study Josiah's story? What is it about Josiah that made him great before both God and men? What relevant life lessons and encouragement can we draw from these passages of Scripture? So just to give a high-level answer up front, we can look at two key verses, which we find in chapter 22. And by the way, can I get you to go back to that passage and to have those Bibles open before you at 2 Kings 22 and 23. Most of our time will be there. And 2 Kings 22, verse 2 says this: "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left." Next chapter, chapter 23, verse 25. "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses." And when I read that in my preparation, I thought, I want to get to know this guy. I want to find out more about a person who sought to live a life of love and obedience towards God, and how I and now we can be just the same. Are you keen to join me? Let's dig into Josiah's life and start with his context.
So good evening, everyone. I'm excited to see how God's going to speak to us through Josiah. I didn't know that much about Josiah before we started preparing. But just a heads up, when Jeff and I were practicing our preach, we said Joseph quite a few times instead of Josiah. So if
I'm a lot older than you, so it can be forgiven.
So if we say Joseph, we mean Josiah. So just bear with us if that happens. But we really want to learn from Josiah how this man and this child, 8-year-old, became a man of holy living. And we need to rewind the story quite a bit to a number of years before Josiah was born. And I'm grateful for some good Bible commentaries that's helped us to get the bigger picture of when Josiah was born and in which context and his culture that he was born into. And so we go back hundreds of years to before Josiah was born, to the death of Solomon, which marked the beginning of a fractured and divided Israel. A civil war would soon break out, and forcing the creation of two separate kingdoms. 10 of the tribes joined to form the northern kingdom, and which we called Israel, and the two remaining tribes formed the southern kingdom, which was known as Judah. And that's where Josiah comes into the throne of Judah. The northern kingdom was then no more. 80 years before Josiah, God brought an end to the northern kingdom because of their continued rebellion against him and the idolatrous practices that pervaded the land. God used the ruthless Assyrian army as an instrument of his judgment, and the death toll for the Hebrew people was massive, and those who survived were deported to Assyria, never to return to their homeland. God took the sin against him very seriously, and they paid a huge price. And now you would think that after such a stunning judgment by God, they would sober up to the last remaining remnant of the Hebrew people, that such grave consequences should bring fear into the hearts of the people of Judah, causing them to align their lives with his will and his ways. But it was not so. For 8 decades that followed the northern kingdom's demise, Judah sank deeper and deeper into sin. And there were prophetic preachings from prophets that you know the names of well, Micah, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk. They took no notice of them. Their cries fell on deaf ears, and each of them bringing a warning of impending judgment unless there was repentance. And they just chose to ignore that. And on top of that, we read about Josiah's personal heritage, his personal, his family heritage. And I want you just to hear what this young boy had to put up with. Josiah's grandfather was Manasseh, and he ruled for 55 years in Judah, and he led the most disgusting and vile life imaginable. What would it have been like for an 8-year-old to have recollections of your grandfather, to be a man who dedicated himself to removing God's word from Judah and replacing the worship of God with idols? You can read about this in 2 Chronicles. I'd encourage you to read this narrative in a chunky read, because that's how God speaks to us, and you see how God works over the decades. What would it have been like for Josiah to know that his grandfather even sacrificed some of his own children to satanic gods? And to read in the Bible about the wholesale slaughter of innocent people that marked Manasseh's reign. The Bible tells us that Manasseh shed so much innocent blood that it filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. And then Josiah's father, who was Amon, was briefly on the scene and was assassinated in his second year by the palace servants. This is the heritage that was given to Josiah, a young boy of 8 years old. And you might wonder what God could do with someone of this young age in this situation. You might wonder, what can God do with you when you think about your heritage or where you are living in the culture you've been brought up in? But the story continues, and we're going to see how God's going to lead him to reform his nation.
So let's look secondly at Josiah's action. What action did he take? And I just want to just get a little glimpse into 2 Chronicles this time. And verse 1 to 4 says this. It speaks again about Josiah being 8 years old when he became king and reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. And did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed his ways, not turning aside to the right or to the left. But listen here how they speak about in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God, the God of his father David. And then in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, of the Asherah poles and of the idols. And verse 4 said, under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and he smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrifice them. And so it goes on. As Jill said, it's really helpful for us to read that. And in my preparation, I kept reading and I actually underlined that there were a further 18 accounts of both in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings of different forms of action that he took. He was a man of action. He says, I'm going to do something about it. But you might have remembered from our reading tonight as to where it all started. What was the initial focus? What was Josiah seeking to do? Well, he wanted to repair and to restore the temple. Good move, good start, which of course included the hugely significant discovery of the book of the law. Let's bank that for a moment, because we'll get back to that in a moment, the importance of God's word in this story. So are you getting the picture? Are you seeing the scene of a young man who, before his death in battle at a fairly young age of 39, he'd be used by God to love and to lead his people in such restorative ways and guiding them back to God's wonderful design and desire for their holy living? And of course, this all begs the question, doesn't it? It's saying, what was it about this young guy? What was the secret to his influence? What was it that made him a man who was honored by God and with an example for us to follow? Well, let's look thirdly at Josiah's priority. And here it is. Josiah's priority was his wholehearted devotion to God. How's that? His priority was a wholehearted devotion to God. He would hold nothing back. He would be single-minded, fervent, complete, no reservations, compromise or excuses. Remember chapter 23, verse 25. Let's read it again. It said this, neither before nor after Josiah was a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength. And he did this in accordance with all the law of Israel. And that's what his wholehearted devotion was built on. It was built on what? On God's word, on scripture, the words contained in the book of the law found in the temple, the book which contained their guidelines for living. Let's be reminded of those.
So I want you to listen to what was read to those people. These verses are very familiar to us, and we just sit and listen to them. And we read about Josiah and how he reacted when he heard these scriptures read to them, bearing in mind the context that he was living in. So Deuteronomy 5 would have been read, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And then Deuteronomy 6, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God has directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, promised you. And we know exactly how that played out. When Josiah heard those things, he must have thought about all their practices and all the things that were happening in the temple that God had specifically spoken to them about. Josiah's priority was to confidently and joyfully live out God's commandments. Not perfectly, of course. He was just like any of us. But the compass needle of his heart was always pointed to the true north of loving, serving, and obeying God. And he began right where he was, where God had placed him, as young as he was, and as best as he knew how, daily and wholeheartedly. Now let's look at how he made this all happen.
So we look at Joseph's, there you are, got it wrong. Josiah. It says there in front of me, Josiah. Josiah's choices. Look down at 2 Kings 22, verse 2. 2:22, 2. Easy to remember. Because we're going to look into one verse and see that Josiah made three choices. And his first choice was to have a single goal. It's so good. It's so simple. It's so profound. Josiah's goal was to so live that God would be pleased with him in all his ways. That God would be pleased with all his ways. Did you see it there at the beginning of verse 2? It said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what he did. He didn't follow the spiritual wickedness and emptiness of his own family. He didn't succumb to the godless choices and behavior that was seen in the nation. He rose above all that. He rose above peer pressure. He rose against the tide of his generation. More than anything else, here was a man who wanted to live a life that was pleasing to God. And so that was his first choice. He chose and was committed to this single goal. His second choice was to develop holy habits. There it is, second part of verse 2. He walked in all the ways of his father. Of course, that was his spiritual father David. And so that phrase, walked in all his ways, it refers to a lifestyle. It refers to being consistent and developing specific habits or disciplines in terms of the rhythms of his days that kept him on a path of holiness and in tune with God. And then the second half of the sentence where it speaks about in the ways of David, that's easy to discern because we just need to look into Scripture. And David's life is there recorded for us in 1 Samuel and 1 Kings. And of course, David's relationship with God is expressed so well in the Psalms. And so we see David as a man of devotion. He loved the word of God. He was committed to prayer and to fasting and to worship and to trust. And so Josiah said, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to choose to emulate a man after God's own heart to decide upon and develop holy habits. And he declared so publicly. He didn't keep it to himself. Chapter 23, verse 3 said this. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant of the presence in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, his statutes, his decrees, with all his heart and with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant.
So his next holy habit, which I really love, was that he called on his holy friends. Well, we won't call them holy friends, we'll call them godly friends. He called on, and well done to James for reading all those hard names in that scripture reading. He called on his secretary. Did you see that in chapter 22 and verse 3? Shaphan or whatever we called him, to help with the repair of the temple. He called on Hilkiah the high priest to guide him and to many other people that were mentioned, stonemasons, builders, people who were dealing with the money, many people who were called on to help in this big task that God had called him to start. He also called, inquired of the Lord. And, you know, the most important thing is to know what God wants us to do in different situations. And Josiah called on Hilda, the prophetess, to inquire what the Lord would have him do with the situation. And this just speaks so clearly into the fact that there's no real place for Lone Ranger Christians. Doing your walk of faith requires help from other people around. And Josiah, in his youth, could never have managed on his own. And he looked around for godly people to help him with the task that was at hand. We are so blessed in the Bridge Church to have many, many holy people, godly people that we can look up to and that are good examples for us to follow, that we can rub shoulders with, that can influence our lives. So let's look at what Josiah did in preparation.
So these are his choices that he made. We've looked at having a single goal, secondly, at developing holy habits. But thirdly, we'll see in that same verse 2 that he wanted to ensure advance preparation. It says that he did not turn aside to the right or to the left, because here's a man who just made up his mind before the temptations or the challenges came. Oh, and this is so important for us tonight. Josiah made up his mind before the temptations or challenges came so that he would not turn aside to the left or to the right. He wouldn't be influenced by all that had gone before or what was going on all around about him.
So this is so important. You know, the decisions that we make have implications, long-term implications, and advanced preparation is so important that we make these decisions in the cool of the evening when we're not suddenly faced with a temptation or a decision to be made, that we don't make a rash decision that backfires on us and lets God down. We have to talk about these things. You have to think and be deliberate in our decision making. And this, you know, comes through all stages of life, whether you're parenting, whether you're dating, whether you're deciding which movie to go and watch or what series to watch. You can't just sit down and watch and then say, ooh, I shouldn't be watching this. You know, you need to be looking ahead of time, seeing what this is about. Is this something that's going to be honoring to God? Do I struggle in a particular area and this movie or series is not going to be helpful? We have to be very practical in the way that we make these decisions. And often in the cool of the evening is the best time to do this kind of thing. And we, both Jeff and I, have experienced how God has been faithful in reminding us and prompting us when we've made decisions and had discussions about hard things, especially when it comes to parenting. You know, it's you've never done it before and it's hard. And you want to do the right thing in God's eyes. And Josiah was an example of making decisions in the cool of the evening and then living them out.
Yeah, of course, there's no direct reference to this in the passage, but if we look at the history of the kings, Josiah would certainly have taken Solomon's wisdom to heart. Solomon, of course, we know, amongst other things, he wrote the Proverbs. And I want to read just a few verses from Proverbs because they speak into the situation so well. Proverbs 4:23 says this: "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Friends, this is a big theme in Scripture. It's the way of godly living, and the way of godly living is to follow what Solomon said there in his Proverbs, to move ahead, to walk straight ahead, to avoid the detours off the path. And so Josiah won the battles before they came. With God's help, he chose, he was determined, he was prepared in advance what he would and he would not do. Did he always get it right? Well, no, he was human, and sadly, no. Like us, he displayed a weakness and he made a mistake. He became involved in a military conflict, which he had been told not to do, and he lost his life. So, Josiah, what have we learned tonight? We've learned some of his context, his action, his priority, his choices. And now finally, and I hope helpfully, let's look at Josiah's life lessons. We've got five to share with you tonight. The first is this, is to pledge yourself to develop daily habits that will support your goal to please God in all his ways. Josiah chose. Friends, will you pledge yourself afresh to develop daily habits that will support your goal to please God in all his ways? And it starts, it matures with living in line with God's word. And if you want to do that, we need to be in God's word every day to know how we should live out our lives. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you might remember something that helps me. The seven F's, remember the seven F's? For us to grow in our lives is to follow God? No. To be fathered by God, to follow Jesus, to be filled with the Spirit, to be fed by the Word, to be fueled by prayer, to be fulfilling your role, and to be in fellowship with others. That's the picture. That's the beautiful thing of the Christian life, and that helps me to keep on track so I might develop those habits that please God. The second is to believe.
Yes, and to believe that God has a purpose for your life. Whether you are 8 years old or 80 years old, God has a purpose, and he's writing a different story for each of us. It's no good comparing what God is doing in other people's lives. You need to just get on with serving him and realize that God has begun a good work, and he desires to continue his work through every stage of your life. Rowena did such a good job with putting out all the opportunities for us here at the Bridge to serve and to grow. And so I want to encourage you to look out for that email, to find a way that you can connect with someone and serve together. And you'll be astounded a year later to see how God has grown you in your faith and how he speaks to you through the interactions with other people, through studying God's word at a connect group. We've got so many opportunities here. Sometimes the chairs need to be fixed. You might be good at welcoming. You might be able to wash dishes well or something like that. There's just many, many opportunities here to start off and to get involved in serving God. We read about all those people that were involved, and didn't you get that feeling that the whole lot of them were sort of lifting the load, doing things together? How exciting it must have been, because God would have been honoring that. And I long for that for you all, to see how God will bless you through the way we serve him here at the Bridge Church.
So there's something for each of us. As we commit our way to him, we serve him. But there's something from this story which we mustn't overlook. And here's the third lesson this evening. That is to submit to God in confession and repentance of sin. Because sin is serious, and sin gets in the way of our relationship with God. So it's sin in our thoughts and our words and our actions, because we saw it in the story. When Josiah realized how corrupt his nation had become, he tore his clothes and he wept before God. He took it seriously. And so, friends, it's for us, it's the acknowledgement, it's the sorrow, it's the apology, it's the changing of attitudes that produced our sinful behavior. And coming before a loving God and our Savior and confessing and repenting of our sin. But here's the beautiful thing. When we do that, we have this wonderful promise from him, a loving response which says, as you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We say, thank you, Lord, for that. We say, thank you, Lord, for that. But there's more. Step number five, or lesson number five, is to take action. to take action, to take action to do what is right in God's eyes. Because when Josiah realized the terrible state of Judah's religious life, he did something about it. Friends, it's not enough to say we believe that something is right or wrong. We need to respond in action by doing what our Christian faith requires. Not only to remove sinful actions, but also to remove the causes of those situations, whether it be relationships or routines or patterns of life that have led us to the door of temptation, to take action. And here's the final lesson. I love it that we can end on this word, and the word is celebrate. To celebrate the discoveries, the victories, the goodness, and the faithfulness of God. That's what decided with the people. And when Josiah discovered the instructions God had given them, that the Passover be celebrated each year, that the nation should celebrate God delivering them out of slavery in Egypt, he ordered the people to do what? To celebrate. To celebrate. Friend, God backs celebration. He loves celebration, and we have so much to celebrate. Yeah? So much to be grateful for, so much to praise God for. Make that a feature of your life. Always to say thank you, to celebrate what God has done and how he leads you day by day. So I'm going to put up the band because we're going to celebrate in our singing. But as we do that, we ask the question up front, why do we want to look at Josiah? Why does the Bible record Josiah's story? Well, I believe the Apostle Paul answers that question. So we go back to our first verse. Romans 15, verse 4 said, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." But Paul says more. He says this now to you, to all of us, the readers, those who he knows and loves. He says, "May the God who gives endurance and the God who gives encouragement, may he give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.